sitting at the table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Citizens.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall. I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Focus.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solidarity.
I reached the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the UDHR. My name is Jim Hutchings, and this week I'm joined by our co-host Mona Hill.
Hello.
And we start the year 2012 with a focus on possibly the most disturbing chain of events in the city of Regina in decades. In 2011, we dedicated 4 human rights radio shows to the topic of homelessness in this city. Due to the worsening situation at hand, we start the new year with yet another show about housing and homelessness. The city of Regina's housing situation has reached what may be considered epidemic proportions, with less than 1% vacancy rate, as well as out-of-reach rent costs for a great many less than average and average wage earners. We welcome Jim Elliott from the Regina Tenants Association, Florence Stratton of the Regina Peacemaking Vigil, and Rhonda Paul, who's going to join us later, who is currently a resident of Crescent Apartments at 1550 14th Avenue. And she's received an eviction notice to vacate by the building owners. So, welcome, Florence and Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome back, everyone. There's so much to talk about, so we're going to just get right into it. Rhonda Paul will be with us, and I guess we'll give you a little bit of background here. Florence, would you maybe like to start with giving the listeners a bird's-eye view of the situation that we're currently facing and what it means to a lot of the people in a couple of apartment buildings that are in Regina and the fallout from this?
Well, there's a 0.6% vacancy rate in Regina. It's the lowest in Canada, and what that essentially means is that there are no places for people, no rental places available at all. What has happened is that two blocks, one at 1755 Hamilton Street, an apartment block, a 46-unit low-rent apartment block, and an apartment block at 1550 14th Avenue, which I think has 12 units. The owner has decided that he wishes to demolish them rather than upgrade them. And that means that 56 people are being evicted and essentially have nowhere to go. It's a horrible situation.
Some of the newspaper articles that came out before Christmas when this occurred with, indicated that some of the people in the 46-unit apartment were able to find somewhere to live. Do we have any idea whether or not they were able to find somewhere to live that was as affordable as the apartments they were in, or if they were able to find a place of their own, or if they had to move in with family members, or do we have any idea?
Well, I have spoken to one of the tenants who hasn't found a place to live, and she says that some of the ones that she knows are couch surfing.
Okay.
I mean, there simply isn't any affordable apartment buildings available. Mm. So where are they going to be going?
Right.
And especially at the rates that they were getting as well. Like, you know, many of those were like $400 a month. And, well, where are you going to find an apartment in the city? You know,
right.
Yet when the average is closer to $900 a month. And, yeah.
So. Even with subsidized housing, and I might make this clear for the listeners, that these apartment buildings are not provincially subsidized.
No.
They were simply apartments that the owner had decided to allow a lower rent for people, and they had, a lot of them had been living there for many years. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at people who are most likely wage earners that don't earn much more than minimum wage or less, maybe live on assistance.
And probably long-time residents as well, in the sense of, you know, being a good location as well as a low rent.
Yeah, my understanding is most of the residents are minimum wage or slightly above.
Right.
Or new Canadians.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Right. Which, for the most part, would not be making much more than minimum wage, as
no.
we know.
Well, and even when you do get into minimum wage, all that means is you're just paying a lower percentage of your income on rent. You know.
Mm-hmm. Even if one were to apply to subsidized housing with the province, my knowledge base is that you would be looking up to perhaps a year or more to be able to find somewhere to live, for the province to find you somewhere to live, because nobody's moving, because there's nowhere to go. We've got a catch-22 situation in this city.
And no more affordable housing is being built.
No.
That's right.
Or has been built probably for the last decade or so. Yeah.
Right. I believe all of us were in attendance at the last city council meeting about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. And Mayor Fiacco did raise the issue of, and his concern and the council's concern about housing. One of the things that he talked about was the new transportation hub that we have outside of Regina, which is a bonus for us in the city to create an environment where there's a lot of warehousing and a lot of shipping in and out, and obviously it can create jobs. Mm-hmm. But the problem is people are coming to work here, and there's nowhere for them to live. So the mayor was very concerned about the fact that there has been up to 500 people wanting to come to Regina because they have work and there's nowhere for them to live. So my concern immediately when I heard about this was, if we're bringing other people into the city in order to sustain work and sustain employment that's needed, what happens to those people who are already here who are losing their housing? Where do they go? So it's just compounded. The problem is being compounded every single day, and it's not getting any better, and it's getting much worse.
Yes. Yeah, and you think of the human suffering. I mean, people are being, the anxiety.
Oh, yeah. No, I talk with people that have got part-time jobs, and they're having to deal with all of these. Well, is my block going to be next, or am I going to be evicted sometime, or where am I going to get the money for the next month's rent? And
right.
Yeah, a tenant I was speaking to who lives at 1755 Hamilton Street was telling me she's moved 5 times since 2006. She no sooner gets an apartment than it is condoized, or the landlord puts the rent up beyond what she can afford. And then, in this case, it's about to be demolished. And as she said, this is making me ill.
Oh, absolutely.
I just wonder, just putting this out there, at what point will City Council say, no, you cannot convert your apartment building to condos? There doesn't seem to be a point. There is, they do have a guideline, but it seems like almost every time a property owner comes to ask for a conversion of their apartment building to a condo, the planning department often will recommend against it, but City Council just goes ahead. So at what point will they stop?
Well, on January 23rd, they're going to come up with a condo conversion policy. And what they are putting forward is if there is a 2% vacancy rate, then condo conversions will be allowed. If it's below 2%, they won't be allowed. That's the proposal that's going forward to City Council, as I understand it. It is usual to see 3% as the cutoff point, but we shouldn't be, but the proposal is for 2%.
Well, and in the reports that they did talk about, is it the idea that 3%, they actually feel that would in fact be a moratorium. And they don't want a moratorium. They want, you know, kind of a free market approach to things, and so that, yeah, it's somewhat confounding. I realize that, but
yeah, when you see where the free market approach has put us, you know, we haven't had rent controls in this city, and I don't see where that has done the renters any good at all here. No. How could they do worse with rent control?
Yeah.
Well, the argument against rent control, and I, you know, I can speak to that because I come from a city originally that has had rent control for well over 20 years, and that's Winnipeg. Winnipeg is a booming city. It's a successful city. There are various facets to their rent control system, and it works. And I wrote a letter, as many people in the city did last year, to our MLAs and our city councillors about the possibility of rent controls. Not really much response to that. And, of course, the business community is definitely, as far as I can tell, dead set against it. I've had conversations with people. And the one thing that really surprised me that I kind of had to laugh about was someone suggested that having rent controls in Regina would just create a ghetto. And my response was, we already have a ghetto here, and we don't have rent controls. So I don't think that that's too much of a concern.
No.
I mean,
in
some regards, we do have a rent control system with the provincial subsidization, but then that's not affecting individual property owners. So that's, you know, one opportunity perhaps that the city could look to, and the province could look to, actually.
It's the province, provincial.
Yeah, the incentives definitely, you know, are going to, you know, hopefully we're going to have them show up at the budget, you know, discussions this spring, maybe that with all of the discussions, going to the MLAs and to the, you know, politicians, that in fact maybe they will show up with something, but unfortunately that doesn't help anybody in the next few months or even probably another year.
Exactly. One of the things that I thought about at the last city council meeting was the fact that, the city is saying that we literally don't have any control over housing. Although, Florence, if you maybe have memory of what was said about hiring someone to do some research on housing in the city?
Yes, at the last council meeting, a motion was passed that the city hire a consultant, paying this person $100,000, to come up with a comprehensive Regina housing strategy.
Right.
So they are, despite what they've been saying all along, about to move into doing something about housing.
Which to me states that possibly there is an opportunity here for the city and the province to get together. mm-hmm. and work on this together, mm-hmm. as well as the city of Saskatoon, mm-hmm. because it's not just Regina that's suffering. Saskatoon is suffering, too.
Just about every city in the... Yeah. Like, I know even Rokenville, you know, with all this potash boom mm-hmm. and everything, a lot of small towns are running into the same problems.
True.
Where do we build new houses, you know, because all these people need a place to live.
Yeah, and I think that's the case, really. All around the province, it's just worse in Regina than any place else.
Yeah.
But any small town that you want to go to, with the increased economic activity, they have people that are living in trailer parks because there's no place else, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
They've got money to buy or rent, but there's nothing to be had.
Yeah.
No.
So this is the downside of being a half province.
Yeah, it's boom and bust.
And it's been the biggest downside.
Well, and boom and bust in many ways on... all at the same time, like you know, people that want to get housing or a good job, they can't because all of these are usually high income or highly technical jobs as well. And
I don't know how much problem there is for high income earners. I'm not sure. I know that there's definitely construction going on in this city.
Mm-hmm.
There are homes being built. There are whole new neighborhoods being built. So I'm not sure if it's an issue for the high wage income earners, more so those who are living on average wage and lower.
Although the thing is, like I was looking at just doing some simple calculations on the current condos at about $250,000 in order to actually buy that, then you've actually got to have an income of probably about $100,000 in order to pay pay an appropriate level of money, towards the mortgage to get into that 30%.
Right, and isn't the average Canadian income about $43,000 to $45,000 a year?
Yeah. Right. So, there was a gentleman up in Saskatoon that was making, $70,000 or $80,000, and he couldn't afford to pay rent in his.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually living in his mother's condo temporarily because she was away. And so he was actually able to just pay her mortgage or pay her payments type of thing. And but at some point, so like I said, you've got a family with, making $70,000, $80,000, $100,000.
And this is for a family, exactly, and they can't afford it.
They can't afford it.
I currently know someone who's got a woman who's taken in a number of young people to give them safety and security and create a family environment for them. And she's living in a home that could possibly be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
So she's looking for another place to live with 5 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not living on minimum wage even.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's trying her best to create a good environment for a bunch of young people.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what's going to happen to her at all.
No.
And our fourth guest has shown up, and this is Rhonda Paul. Welcome to Human Rights Radio.
Thank you.
And if you would like to just move in a little bit to the microphone, great. Thanks for joining us. We were talking earlier about the fact that you're living in one of the apartment buildings that is scheduled for demolition in Regina, and we thought you'd like to talk about this experience. Take it away. It's your story. Go ahead and tell your story, Rhonda.
All right. Well, I can see here that someone does have some information about the Westland building. I live in the 1550 14th Avenue location, a heritage property, which has been designated, has not been designated, because only the building owner can designate a heritage property. However, it has been on the Saskatchewan Heritage List since 1984. Beautiful building, needs $140,000 worth of repair, which is small potatoes, peanuts, is what everyone has said, except the owner. In fact, the owner is so outraged that it's gone public that he should do these repairs that he's going to tear it down, he says.
Do you mind if I interject and ask you if the owner is a resident of Saskatchewan?
At the moment, no. They had been in the 70s, but he's been a long-term resident of Calgary. In fact, he managed to absent himself to his second Palm Springs home while we had our hearing so that he could be very unavailable for any questions. So his agent, Al Manley, did appear at the hearing when I attended on December 14th. So Jack Sharp, who owns the property is just the, you know, the power, the figurehead. Al has been doing lots of the work regarding it. They handed us a false eviction notice.
How was it false?
It was, they had told us that it was, well, actually, the eviction notice actually wasn't filled out correctly. They had an option of 6 categories to check off, and they just checked off at the top where one of the following categories. That's what they checked off. Should have checked off demolition or one of the other options. Checked off nothing. So that in itself, originally, when we were handed that in we were told by phone in September about this upcoming demolition, which put everybody up in arms. Then received the eviction notice in October, which was not correct. I received a hearing notice that was filled out correctly, but the hearing notice, because I appealed the original eviction, the hearing notice did not have the required documents to back it up. So that was also inaccurate or false document. So at the very beginning, in September, I called Dale Beck from Rentalsman, well, the office of the tenancy's office.
Yeah.
And he said that landlords will tell tenants anything they want in order to scare the tenants out of the building. He verified and confirmed there was no such thing as a demolition permit at that time. So he knew, he told us, but nobody believed, right? Everybody panicked. And at this point, a 12-unit building has only 3 units occupied, and all the rest are sitting empty. And these are fair-sized units. Most of them had at least 2 people in them. Some of them had 4 or 6 because there were students also in the building. And a great big building, all empty, all beautiful, all heritage, which is slated for demolition.
Do you have any idea what types of repairs are needed to the building?
Yes, foundation repairs. $140,000 worth of repairs, which really, considering if you had any idea how these people live, it's like they live like royalty. You know, the building owner, the company owner has more than one home, more than 2 homes. Our building manager just recently bought, 2008 or 2007, paid cash for a second home in Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona. And being in the U.S., I can actually give you documents that will show you exactly what he paid and when he paid for it and the names on the ownership or on the, I don't think they call it lease. I've got that with me today. It's public knowledge in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
So they're making enough money to reward themselves. They have a long... One of the gentlemen who lived in the building for 7 years, he was so disappointed. He was from Quebec, or is from Quebec, and he loves the beauty, the heritage, the quality. And he was almost in tears. You know, a man in his 30s, a teacher, no less. And he said, I've lived here so long, it's my home. And he says, always patching, never fixing, never repairing. And that's exactly the problem. It was willful neglect, undue care. And it's one thing to disrespect a building, but you've got paying tenants, you've got paying customers. You're disrespecting property that should not be disrespected, but you're disrespecting humanity and individuals. And when Pamela Cowan did her interview with the Leader Post with this gentleman, she asked him, and he said, oh, it's a matter of money, it's a matter of cost. Well, it's not. It's a matter of neglect, it's a matter of abuse, it's a matter of insult to humanity. And these people can't afford it. She refused to do the care and maintenance. And she did not have the gumption or the journalistic skills to say to this man, well, why did you neglect it in the long run? Why did you let it go?
Were there complaints throughout the years about the neglect that you know of?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you call to ask to have things repaired, and you're almost sorry you asked to have it repaired because they will deliberately do such a bad job that, I mean, I've taken cabinet making. I can definitely do a better job than what they have done.
Because we have standards in our province. You know, we have housing standards and we have repair standards.
And that's how we got this to light. Mm-hmm. You know, because it was the multi-task force was brought in to the city of Regina to look at the building to say, hey, yes, we do need to have this pulled up to code. That, and that is how this all came about.
Okay.
The city was called in. The city said, fine, you know, do the repairs. It's only $140,000. And they're so defiant, they refuse to do it. How dare us ask? How dare us ask for repairs to be made?
Okay. We have a couple of minutes left before the break, and we'll be back after the break. One of the last things that I wanted to state was that we talked earlier about certain incentives for building owners or landlords to be able to fix things up. And one of the things that I believe might be a useful topic, I guess, to discuss, or for anyone out there who is thinking about writing a letter or showing up at city council, calling your city councilor, calling your member of your legislative assembly, is about incentives. You know, just before Christmas, the city announced that they were offering rental incentives to corporations in downtown Regina, tax breaks, but via tax breaks, so that they could afford to have more office space in downtown Regina. And when I think about this particular issue, if we're looking at a $140,000 repair, and if that's the major reason why this owner of these two buildings wants to tear them down so that they won't have to spend $140,000 now and maybe a little bit later to do the upgrades that needed to be done a long time ago, there's a perfect opportunity for incentives from the city of Regina in form maybe of a tax break or something.
Well, they do have that as a policy within the residential, you know, for downtown properties is to actually you know, get money to, or give a tax break or a 5-year break or all that type of thing.
Okay, we're going to go to the break now, our break, and we're going to come back after and continue this discussion about the housing issues in Regina.
Somebody say, Somebody sing
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody sing
chee-chee.
Somebody cry
why,
why. Somebody sing
chee-chee.
Somebody sing
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody sing
chee-chee.
Somebody cry
why.
Somebody sing Somebody sing, somebody sing,
hello, hello,
hello. Somebody sing, somebody cry,
why.
Somebody sing,
somebody
sing, hello, hello, hello. Somebody sing, somebody cry,
why.
Kulumani,
Kuluman, Kuluman is this way.
And that was from Paul Simon's Graceland album entitled Homeless.
Great. Welcome back to Human Rights Radio. I'm Mona Hill, and I'm here with my co-host Jim Hutchings on behalf of Amnesty International. And today, once again, we're doing a show about housing and homelessness in Regina. And if you weren't here at the top of the hour, we have Florence Stratton from the Regina Making Peace Vigil with us. We have Jim Elliott from the Regina Tenants Association. And we have Rhonda Paul, who is currently living in one of the apartment buildings in Regina that is scheduled for demolition by the owners. And we're talking with Rhonda about the process that she's been going through since she received the eviction notice, because there were eviction notices sent out to the residents of both apartment buildings, and I think that worked out to about, 58 housing units that this building owner wants to demolish. So we're looking at 58 housing units in a city that already has a vacancy rate of 0.6%, less than 1%. So this is, of course, a big concern. Rhonda, you talked a little bit before the break about what happened when you got your eviction notice, and that there were problems with them, and that you went to the Office of the Rentalsman, and that there have been meetings. Would you care to continue with that story about what happened?
Okay, well, we officially received printed vacate notices October 13th, but the landlord had called us all personally by phone in advance in end of September and kind of stirred up the water and got everybody alarmed. In the building, we tried to organize meetings and had neighbors who had compiled data, 6-page handout they were going to hand out to everybody in the building, and they did that. They were going to hand it out to the building north and south, because those are also owned by the same company, and to the whole neighborhood, because even if we couldn't save our own homes, we would save the building, do the heritage value. But, of course, we did have that vested interest in our own home, first and foremost. It was a difficult process, because people, the first thing I did was phone. As soon as I received the message Friday, I called the executive director of the Rentalsman. We actually call it the Residential Tenancies Office, Dale Beck, at home, the poor man. And he took the call and said, this is what's happened. This is what they're telling us, and this is what's going on. And he said, okay, calm down, relax. It's exactly, you're reacting exactly how the landlord wants you to. The landlord wants you to become frightened, become scared, and get out. And he said, there's no such thing as a demolition for this building. And just hold your ground. You'll get it when we get our form, our notice to vacate. There's a form must be attached to it that we can sign to challenge it. And so that's exactly what I did. I signed the form. I slid a copy underneath every door of that building. All 12 tenants had a copy received from the landlord, also a copy received from me, and I said I'd take them all in. Well, we did have about six people sign those, and when we sign those, we have to wait for a hearing date. Our hearing date was December 14th, so it was 2 months. And in the meantime, people are packing their belongings and moving out, trying to find another place. When it did come to the hearing, there was a letter submitted by one couple from one of the suites, and myself was as the only person present. But I was not prepared to do this alone, so I called Carmichael Outreach and asked Elena Harrison, who is their housing coordinator, to help, to come. I called Peter Gilmer from the Anti-Poverty Ministry, if he would come, if he had time, to help us out. And I called a gentleman by the name of Terrence Sinclair, who is the director of the Architectural Heritage Society of Saskatchewan, to come. And, you know, if he had an interest in the heritage of the building, if he would come as well. And all three did show up, thank heavens, because it's a little bit intimidating. You've got Steve Connolly, who was the mediator, a former lawyer and provincial government mediator now. On the one side, you've got your landlord, and in this case it was the agent, Al Manley, beside me and myself. And so I had three people behind me and a member from the press, from the Leader Post. And we just, you know, had the presentation, you know, from my landlord. We presented the documents, and I handed in my my notice to vacate, and I handed in I handed in two things. I can't even remember what the second one was. But as I'm handing those in, Mr. Manley said, "Oh, no need. You've already got copies of those." And okay, fine. So I wasn't sure afterwards if I'd done the right thing, because my copies might have been different than his, because I had no reason to believe they hadn't been corrected on his side. However, Mr. Manley at the hearing handed in a form to the mediator, and the mediator had glanced at it for 10 seconds or less, I would say less, and started to hand it back and say, "Are you sure you want me to have this?" And Al Manley said, "Oh, no, no problem. I've got a copy." And he said a second time, "All right, so you're sure you want me to have this?" He was in, you know, the body motion of pushing it back. And Al's like, "No, that's fine." And so he had to read it. And it said that the demolition permit from the city of Regina had just been signed December 6th. And he looked up at us, and I had my hand out like this. And he was not, you know, his hand was towards his chest. And he finally said, because I wasn't budging, "Would you like to read this?" "Yes." So I got it in my grubby little paw, pulled it back. Sure enough, December 6th. We were told in September, demolition. There was no such thing. And he handed the proof.
There was no such thing as a demolition order?
No such thing as a demolition order.
Okay.
And so Al Manley was given two chances to rescind that.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. But I said, nothing there. So I've got this, and I'm looking at it. He said it out loud. I'm reading it. I just verified because of the way they had the dates, you know. So this is December 6th. And he said, "Yes." And so I just whipped it over my shoulder back to everybody behind me, and I wanted them all to read it too. So there's no way to back out of this. You've been caught. And
so it sounds as though he was being somewhat, perhaps, dishonest about the process.
Well, I felt that, you know, the process certainly was to assist the landlord in that case. But Mr. Connolly printed and submitted his decision the next day.
Mm-hmm.
He had not much choice, really, because I had four people behind me and all a matter of record.
And what was that decision?
Decision is that he had to order that the landlord's application for possession be dismissed. because it was his finding that proper notice to vacate has not been given to this tenant since the landlord did not have the necessary demolition permit when the notice to vacate was served, and he was not prepared to allow the landlord's application for possession of the units. So it was great to have the others there because they did all speak on my behalf.
So where are we at in this process now? Why is it still an issue?
Why is it still an issue? Because there's actually people out there that I can't get a hold of who left the building who are now entitled to receive reimbursement for their moving expenses. They don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they don't know that is because that part of the form was not included, which should have been, on the notice to vacate. Some of these people really suffered in their process of moving. One girl does not own a car. She had to call her friends, and every week she would load up all her possessions into a friend's car, and you never saw the same friend twice because that was a lot of work and a lot to ask of somebody to do that for you. And I'm still in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like living in a haunted house right now. People have just abandoned some of their products, some of their household possessions still in the hallway.
It sounds like some left with a lot of stress. It sounds like it was very traumatic.
Well, they can't see me, but you can. My hair is falling out. I've lost 15 pounds, and I think a pound of it was hair.
Wow.
I swear. I am not sleeping well, and I'm a really good sleeper. I'm hard of hearing. I have a disability. I take these hearing aids out, and I can sleep like nobody's business,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not doing that, and it's not my nature to be restless at night. I have not got the same opportunities as some of my neighbors. We had double income, no kids, double government employees, and we had a good rent, and we would have been fine with a rent increase or two. We were a fair rent because there really were problems we had to deal with, and the neglect was just ongoing, nonstop. You pay for what you get, I think. But mm-hmm. we paid good money for what we did get. But some of these people could just walk out and get a home. And it was cheaper. It is cheaper to actually to pay a mortgage than it is to pay for the rent that I'm encountering now.
Now that you're looking for another place
mm-hmm.
to live, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. So the landlord, it sounds like the landlord is still intent upon demolishing these two buildings.
I have not heard from them. I actually asked on Wednesday if I could expect to deliver them another check, same as usual next month, or I was trying to, without coming out, are you evicting me this month?
Right.
But they do have the right to do that. They can give me a notice to vacate before the 31st of the month so that I can be out on the 29th of February, which is what they wanted originally. And they could use just about any reason. I mean, the building's mostly empty.
Mm-hmm.
I keep knocking at my neighbor's door saying, when are you leaving? Are you leaving? Nobody's really making any plans.
Sounds incredibly stressful to live under these conditions. Florence, give us an idea of what's going on. That city council meeting we were at a couple of weeks ago, they talked about, our councillor Fred Clipsham suggested that they sort of rescind this for now anyways and stop this. Can you fill us in on this one?
Yeah, that one, Fred's motion only related to the building at 1755 Hamilton Street.
On Hamilton.
Right, and City Council unanimously passed the motion prevent the demolition of apartment block at 1755 Hamilton. What that means is that the City Council meeting on January 23rd, City Council will discuss the report prepared by the administration setting out options available to prevent the demolition of that building. So that's when the fate of that building will be decided, yeah.
So at least we've got something happening with the one mm-hmm. building with the 48 well, units mm-hmm. that
maybe,
we know about.
Maybe this will kind of turn into a double job
right.
in the sense of because of the fact mm-hmm. that the administration knows that the other one is being
mm-hmm.
potentially
right, yeah.
demolished as well, and maybe
that's
they'll
cool.
take the two of them together mm-hmm. and say, let's work on this together.
Right. And it seems to me if city council can find a way to build a new stadium, they can find a way to save, you know, 58 units of affordable housing in the city. It can't be an impossibility.
Right.
Well, and even some tax incentives, like we talked about, you know, getting 5 or 10 years with the tax incentives. Mm-hmm. Well, that would keep the buildings mm-hmm. coming. That would, you know, that would keep them paying taxes at a later date, and so hopefully.
And give them incentive to fix the building up to standard and to, allow these tenants and new tenants. And some of them have been able to afford to move, and they have been able to find affordable housing for their families. But to keep it available for those who haven't. I mean, as you stated, Rhonda, you wouldn't have minded a small increase that you could afford, mm-hmm. And that's reasonable, mm-hmm. considering the rest of the city. Rent is extremely high.
And you're still paying significant rent.
I am actually paying $800 a month, which is, for me, significant. It's mm-hmm. not for my neighbors.
Yeah.
But I live alone. Mm-hmm. I don't have two incomes. I don't have four right. incomes, as some of the suites did have. And it's definitely not a government income. I am private for profit, American employed worker. Mm-hmm. So definitely not. Rolling in dough.
Right.
It's interesting because we were receiving rental increases every 6 months, as is the nature of landlords here.
Right.
And they gave us a rent increase already knowing that they were planning on demolishing the building, which is so unethical, I think. I could not believe it. It's like that's adding insult to injury. Mm. And also, there were one of the main floor suites, young people, who had what they call a blowout party. So their last night, the big party, they wrote on the walls in marker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, foolish, irresponsible, but their thinking was, they're tearing the building down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what difference does it make? Well, guess what? One of those young men was hauled off to the police department, thrown in a cell and kept there all day, because he has damaged the landlord's property. It was ludicrous. And so I'm sitting in the lobby waiting to go into my hearing, and I said to Al, why would you arrest a kid for writing on a wall? What was the point? Is not what you're telling us here today that we are demolishing the building, what difference does it make? And he said to me, and I nearly fell off my chair, he said it was the principle of the thing. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm just the principle of the thing. I couldn't say it to him. There's, you know, all these people. It's an office environment. I just wanted to scream, if you had any principles, sir, we wouldn't be in this predicament. If they had any principles, any respect for anyone else, there would be no reason for any of this to happen. And it really indicates that, yes, they are not planning on demolishing the building. And what we have learned, and it's only hearsay, but that's what we got to tell us to evict, is that they are planning to put the main floor, speaking of office buildings, make the main floor office buildings so they can get that city money. And then they're going to put condos upstairs. And one of those condos sold would pay twice what they need for the repairs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
Jim, what does the Queen City Tenants Association have to say on all this?
Well, I guess we've been hoping that some of this would end up being talked about, part of the reason why we got Dale Beck to come into our annual general meeting next week was to, in fact...
Maybe just remind us who he is.
He's the executive director for the Office of the Residential Tenancy, so essentially the head person that kind of looks over all tenants' landlord relationships in the province. And so we wanted to start to begin that discussion because we've had problems with landlord-tenant situations in the past. We've had previous evictions. I've had a few calls about just general tenant, landlord problems, kind of, well, what do I do? How do I, you know, where do I go? Because in many cases, they haven't had the experience of dealing with this. And so we're starting to begin to put some pressure both on the provincial government as well as the city, and as Florence mentioned, we'll probably be making some presentations at the city council meeting.
When is that? Is that June 23rd?
January 23rd.
5:30. Yeah. And that's something we'll get to before we leave. How much time do we have, Jim?
We have 5 minutes and 55 seconds.
Excellent. Okay. One thing I wanted to say that a lot of people don't think about if they've never faced not having somewhere to live all of a sudden. There are many people who are good-hearted enough to be able to say, if you're in trouble, I'll help you. I currently have a friend who did such a thing and brought a family, a young family, a father and a mother and two very small children, into his bachelor suite temporarily until he could find, help them find somewhere to live. And this was at the beginning of the Occupy movement, actually, when it turned so cold back, I think it was in November. There was, somehow they ended up homeless. I'm not sure what the story was behind that. Because of his kindness and his decision to try and help this young family who were at loose ends at the time, he has since been given an eviction notice from his apartment because he had because his rental agreement states that you can't have guests for any more than 3 weeks, and it was going on a month that this family was there. So now we have not only this young family who has he had to tell them to leave, and they had to find a way to get out of town and go and live out of town with some relatives, meaning the young man could not now look for work, which what he was doing was looking for work. But we also have somebody who was once now homeless, who wasn't expecting to be homeless, but because of his generosity has turned out homeless. And he's currently now looking for a place to live as well. So for those of you who really don't see that whole picture, this is a big part of that whole picture. We're all in this together as a community, and this is the way I see it. And, you know, Florence was talking about the meeting coming up at City Council. And there are some things, if you're interested in helping out, and I would hope that the listeners are, to write a simple letter, to make a simple phone call, but to make it clear that as a community, we are responsible. And our municipality, or the people who work for us in our municipality, in our province, the people we have literally hired through elections, we are responsible for looking after one another in our community. Maybe you'd like to talk about what they can do, Florence, as far as the city council meeting or anything else.
Yes, well, writing letters to the editor of the Leader Post is one thing that can be done. If you go to the Leader Post website, it's very easy to do. You can just follow the links. You could show up at the city council meeting, which is on January 23rd, starting at 5:30. It would be good to pack the seating space for the public.
The more people there, the better, I think, right, in support of these issues.
Well, and you can actually just write a letter to city council about this issue as well. Right. You don't even have to make a presentation.
Right.
It is important to know that if you do want to make a presentation, you need to send your letter in. It has to be there by the Thursday before, right?
Thursday before at noon, right. Yeah. And you could email or phone your city councilor and the mayor expressing your opinion.
Yes.
That would be another thing. I mean, in a city with a vacancy rate of 0.6%, demolishing affordable housing is simply can't be in the cards. Yeah. You can't do it in those circumstances.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, it's totally unacceptable. Yeah.
Just one other thing that you can also do, and that is you can come out to the Queen City Tenants Association meeting there on the 17th.
Where is that at?
At the United Way building on 1440 Scar Street at 7 o'clock, and you can join up with us as well and again have a chance to talk with Dale Beck from the Reynoldsman Residential Tenancies Office and join the crowd, I guess, because I'm hoping that there will be a large audience there as well. So.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Rhonda, our best wishes are with you and the other tenants
thank
of
you.
Both buildings, as well as those in the city who are ending up in a state of desperation over their housing.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to say that please do show your support. Do the best that you can to help these people out. It's not about you. It can be about your children and your relatives as well. You know, we may be safe. I may be safe. But as I said, I have a friend right now who's currently looking for a place to live because he's going to be losing his place by the end of the month. So on that note, take it away, Jim.
Okay, and I'd just like to mention that those of you who are looking forward to hearing Bulldog after our show here, he's moved, and his show is on at 4 o'clock now, so you're not going to hear him after our show. Anyway, as we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."